Her arms and legs felt paralyzed, suffocating in darkness, helpless. Mildred sat very still. Dean Carter had been born into fear. There'd been scarcely a single day in his 10 years of life where fear hadn't squatted grinning in his shadow. Fear had come in so many different shapes, lurking behind myriad changing masks. Some pretended to smile, and some offered true friendship. But you looked into the eyes that lay beneath the sockets of the masks, and you saw the cold flames of hell itself burning there. Some found no need of masks. Their pride, power, and pomp was out in the open, naked and lustful. Dean was more afraid of the smilers with the knives beneath the cloaks. But all his life he'd been taught to live with fear, to conquer it and keep it under control. His mother had always told him that.
A man who lets fear beat him isn't a proper man. He's a cringing, cowering corpse on two legs.
Dean remembered that, as he remembered everything that Rona had taught him. She hadn't told him anything about small rooms with walls of thick golden glass, rooms that filled with humming sounds and whirling, blinding mists, rooms where your head began to slowly turn itself inside out. The young boy felt sick, his stomach churned, and the taste of bile rose in his throat, making him gag at its seething bitterness. And now he was out in the desert, with mesas scarring the horizon. A two-lane blacktop stretched ahead of him, narrowing into a penciled line. Turning his head, he saw the same thing in the opposite direction. The road ran the whole length of a vast, flat valley, farther than the eye could see, both ends disappearing into a blur of heat haze. Far above him, Dean could see a hawk soaring effortlessly on a thermal, its eyes covering the dusty, baked land, watching for the flicker of frightened movement that would mean food. The boy was waiting. Waiting where his mother had left him, waiting for the man with one eye to come riding on a golden silver two-wheel wag. A handsome man, tall and straight, astride a roaring machine that would take them both off like the hot wind. Dean could imagine locking his arms around his father's waist as they soared effortlessly across the dusty, baked land. There was something in the boy's pocket, and he took it out to look at it. The object was a shaped prism of crystal, pure and clear, reflecting every color of the rainbow within itself. Dean held it up to his face, seeing 1,000 shimmering images of the red-orange world around him. But the crystal began to melt, turning warm in his fingers and soft, like the wax of a candle left too near a campfire. The brightness disappeared, as did the sun and the highway. The wind came up, the wind from the farthest edge of Bible Black, Raven's Wing beyond, the wind that carries the ice breath from between the stars. And it entered the boy. Sliding like a knife of molten snow into his eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, freezing his groin and his heart, Dean began to die. Ryan Carter felt the familiar symptoms, the queasiness and the cold sweat that gathered at the forehead, dry lips and damp palms. The mist grew denser from the metal discs, and the humming noise was like a drill probing at the core of his bones. It was as it had been before.
Worse.
He experienced the same sucking and whirling of the brain within the skull, making all of the normal function shut down. He closed his eye, fingers clenching against the nausea. Something was going wrong. He could hear it and feel it, taste it like iron in his mouth. With the most enormous effort of will, Ryan fought off the unconscious dreams that had possessed everyone else in the chamber, clawing himself back from the darkness. Slowly, painfully, he managed to open his good eye again. Darkness. A cold, paralyzing darkness. Ryan could feel his bile rising in his throat, and he swallowed hard to try to fight it back. The freezing air smelled of fresh spilled blood. Ryan closed his eye again, leaning against the chill wall of armaglass, listening.
Oh.
The second time he opened his right eye, Grant realized that the Matran's chamber wasn't totally jet dark. There was a faint glimmering of light from the metal discs in the ceiling, and a purple glow seemed to shimmer through the main door. He could just make out the sprawled figures of his four friends and his son. Ryan managed to get to his knees, then pull himself to his feet. His body felt oddly light, as though someone had tampered with the normal forces of gravity. The sickness came flooding back, and he doubled over. Even that failed to disturb any of the others. It crossed Ryan's mind that the jump might have been so appalling in its malfunctioning effects that it could have brought death.
Open the door.
Ryan wiped his mouth on the sleeve of his coat. He propped the G-12 against the wall and took cautious, unsteady steps across the floor. The feeling of unnatural lightness was worse when he was up and moving. The hand on the steel latch didn't seem to belong to him, and he could just see it in the strange, sepulchral light that filtered in from outside. He tightened his fingers, aware of the movements of tendons and ligaments within his wrist and arm.
Coming out. Get ready.
He stopped, his forehead wrinkling with bewilderment. It hadn't sounded like anyone's voice that he recognized. A man, so that ruled out Christy and Mildred. Too deep for a boy, so it wasn't Dean. Not the right pitch for Doc. And it hadn't sounded like JB. Maybe he'd said it himself. Coming out. Get ready. Why would he have said that? Even in his present confused state.
Outside.
Ryan saw his breath, frosting the cold air in front of him. In all the jumps they'd made in Deathlands, and the one or two beyond, they'd never come across a gateway with people in it. Though a couple of times there'd been the odd feeling of a complex that had been in recent use. Ryan's fighting mind was beginning to find itself a working level, recovering from the scrambling it had taken. If there were people beyond the armored door, then they might not be friendly. He remembered one of the trader's favorite sayings.
Put 100 strangers in a room and guess how many are friendly. If you're real, real lucky, you might find one.
Ryan looked over his shoulders, wondering whether to pick up the Heckler & Koch automatic rifle, deciding it would be too clumsy while he opened the heavy door. His hand went to his belt and drew the piece of metal it found there. A wave of nausea came clawing up from his guts, churning his brain to oatmeal. Ryan blinked and peered at what he held in his right hand, struggling to make sense of its size and shape.
Blaster.
He slowed his breathing, concentrating on the gun, remembering all the details. Schweizerische Industrie Gesellschaft was the SIG part of the name engraved on the side of the pistol. Sauer, J.P. Sauer, and Sohn of Eckenforde. The P226 model, 9mm. Length was 7.72 inches, with the barrel being 4.41 inches. Weighed in at 25.52 ounces. 15 rounds, with a push-button mag release. Built-in baffle silencer. Ryan nodded. That was good. His mind was clear again, and he was ready for whatever lay behind the door. He pressed his ear against the icy armor glass, but it was tomb silent. A small part of his brain nagged at him, whispering insistently that he'd imagined the words, heard them only through a distorted mind. There wasn't anyone out there. There was never anyone out there. Gripping the blaster in his right hand, Ryan slowly eased open the catch with his left, hearing the soft hydraulic kiss of the lock. The light grew a little brighter. Behind him in the chamber, someone stirred.
By the three Kennedys.
Very slowly, the door inched open. Ryan put his eye to the crack and squinted. There was the usual small room outside, with a second door that stood ajar beyond that, showing him a corner of the main control room with its banks of consoles. The air still felt light, and it tasted stale, as though it had been recirculated too many times. Ryan took in a deep breath and caught the faint scent of human sweat. He swallowed, finger tightening on the trigger of the 6-hour. The door opened a handbreadth more.
You! Out there!
Since they obviously knew the chamber was occupied, there was no point in continuing the standoff.
Want to show yourselves, whoever you are?
He heard the crackle of an intercom being used, but it was too muffled for him to catch any of the conversation. His keen hearing caught the shuffle of boots, and then an unmistakable sound. Suddenly, a blaze of magnesium bright light exploded around him. An amplified voice boomed through the complex.
Throw down your blasters and surrender, or you will all be terminated.
Ryan didn't hesitate. He heaved the sector closed, knowing that this would be enough to trigger